Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 8:26 p.m. and that is Central Time. And today is October 10th. And I would like to thank you for your patience because I know I'm recording a little bit later than normal. The thing that really strikes me is that there's a dearth of liquidity in the treasury markets. You've got the normal buyers of bonds that aren't participating any longer. So when we think about the 10-year yield, for example, it continues to march higher. And in after-hours trading, it's up 7 basis points. So in the event that it were to close up here on the 11th, then the chances are that, well, we're going to be at a new closing high. Now, this stands in sharp contrast with the quantity of cash that's being held in private hands. And we can think about the private equity at this number that continually gets thrown around, which is 3 trillion in dry powder. So on the one hand, we have the US government and other governments that are looking to borrow, and then the normal buyers of 10-year treasuries are not engaged in the market. It's continuing to push yields higher. We've already seen what this did to the UK. And there has been, and GavCal in particular, have this very colorful description of what's going on. It's like dynamite fishing. I think that it's one of the nicer ways of describing what's going on right now. And the more dynamite you throw in, occasionally you'll get small fish. You might get a good sized dolphin, but eventually a whale will surface. And it's when the whale surfaces that then you really have a problem, and that's when central banks have no choice. And the UK is in a really perilous position because the 30-year yield is pushing back up towards 5%. Now, this is normal. After a major intervention by a central bank, the market is always in a mood to test the resolve of the central bank. So when yields get back up to 5%, that will be the make or break point. Either the Bank of England is going to continue to defend this 5% level, in which case we will have confirmation of yield curve control. But I think perhaps more accurately, what we're really looking at is the potential that they're simply going to denude investors from the opportunity to have real returns. And this kind of financial repression is something that we have to be alert to, because it's exactly what happened in the 1930s. And we have a huge amount of debt, and there's obviously money on the sidelines that could be put to work, but it is not being put to work. We have high yield spreads that are marching higher, and the junkiest of junk has not been contracting either. So we've got yields that are still marching higher. Now, the high yield spread did not update yet. It won't update until tomorrow, but the chances are it's going to be coming back up towards the 600 basis point level. But that's not really the issue. It's when this spread is above 500 basis points, it results in trouble in the stock market. The reality is that credit leads stocks. So we might then also describe some of these sovereign bonds as credits because nobody wants them. So we have a mismatch in this market where sovereigns are under a great deal of pressure and they're not in a position where they can raise taxes. And this is going to become a very pressing issue this week because the statutory increase to Social Security in the USA is going to be announced, and the chances are it's going to be the largest increase, which is inflation-led, since the early 1980s. Now, something that most people outside the USA don't really have a handle on is that Social Security is taxed in the event that you make more than a low hurdle rate. And I believe that hurdle rate is 20%. I'll get accurate figures for tomorrow's comment of the day. With these increases, it's going to push a significant number of retirees into taxation territory. And that's a voting issue. That's something that is going to show up in the midterm elections, and if not in the midterm elections, certainly in the presidential election. How are they going to allow for people that are on a fixed income to hold on to more money so that they can afford to live? That's obviously going to be an issue. It's one of the primary reasons I think that yields are still pushing higher. But like I said, high yield spreads above 500 basis points mean trouble for stocks. And the NASDAQ 100 was at a new low in here today. Now, it didn't close on the low, but it is breaking down through the 1,000-day moving average. This is a very well-defined downtrend. And until we see a sustained move back above the 200-day moving average, we would have to conclude that it is still a downtrend. Now, I think I've got some sympathy with the view that we've got a short-term oversold condition. But the one thing we don't have is evidence of a pivot from the Federal Reserve. As long as that remains the case, then we're going to continue to see downward pressure on stocks, and most particularly within the tech sector because they went up so much in the first place. Then China opened up today. And what I found especially interesting is that it was the tech sector led on the downside. So we can look at the leading decliners, and it was microfabrications and technologies and consulting companies and semiconductor companies, all down in excess of 10%. And the ones that were on the upside were either the big dividend payers or energy companies. So this is a distinct turn to defensive investing in China, and the CSI 300 remains under pressure. Now, again, we do have a short-term oversold condition, but the fact that the market is accelerating on the downside following the break, and additionally, that we are right on the cusp of the party Congress and the stock market is weak, it suggests that investors aren't really willing to support the Chinese market just yet. And then we have the renminbi. So the onshore version didn't trade at all for the last week, but then it was weaker in here today and is holding most of that move right now. If China is going to try and rescue the property market, that's going to be expensive. It's virtually impossible to defend the currency and stimulate the property market. What we're looking for in this environment, where we have inflationary fears at present, but the clear risk of a global recession, which will solve for a lot of the inflationary fears very quickly. What we are then looking for is evidence of clear monetary and fiscal support. So the UK tried the fiscal support route without tackling the inflation problem, so it was too early and has been punished accordingly. China is likely to sacrifice the currency in service to rescuing the property market. But we also should not just simply think about the mismatch between the outlook for sovereign bond markets and the demand in the US, USA's case for repo, where there's trillions has been devoted to money market funds. But then also thinking about where the epicenters of risk reside. We know that there's an obvious problem in the market where people have been borrowing dollars, but pay back from revenues in a separate currency. The dollar index is still trending higher. That was an awfully big rebound last week from the 110 area, and it looks likely that it is going to fall heavily on dollar borrowers, but that's most particularly within the Chinese property developer sector. That's a big whale. So that's something to watch. We also know that pension funds everywhere have been massively investing in private equity. Now, corporate profits have not yet rolled over. So it's inevitable that corporate profits will roll over. And that is likely within the next 6 months. So if we then just look at this longer term chart of corporate profits, we had this huge run up in 2020. It's pulled back into the region of the 1,000-day moving average on several occasions over the last 30 years. Each of those has been a significant buying opportunity. But we are now more overextended relative to that long-term mean than we were in 2006. And I think everyone at this stage must understand that earnings were highly flattered by trillions of dollars being pushed out into the global economy. So when that fountain stops, the party will also stop and corporate profits will contract. That's why the stock market is selling off. It's pricing in lower profits. But that will also create mark-to-market pressures for the private sector. Those high valuations are very much tied to the corporate profits that we see in the public markets. And when we think interest rates and profits are moving in deleterious directions, then private assets are going to have to be marked down. Now, when that happens, that's where the whale is going to be, because the valuation on every pension fund in the world is going to be marked down. And then we will have to ask big questions. How on earth are we going to fund the retirement of huge numbers of people? And when you don't have the workers to come in and earn the wages to pay those commitments, when the commitments are exceptionally generous and the existing workforce aren't and those same benefits aren't being made available to them, then what is it that how are we going to solve that problem? So money printing is an easy answer, and it looks likely that it will be the answer. And I think that's the, unfortunately, that is what has been supporting stock markets. People believe that it's inevitable that we're going to have to see a lot more money printing. But that was a possible scenario because we had low inflation. What I find especially interesting, or it's not even interesting, it's ironic, is that Ben Bernanke was just given the Nobel Prize for quantitative easing. And we are now starting to see what the repercussions of that extraordinary policy suite are actually having in terms of both government finances and government bond yields. And I think that is something that's going to play out over the next 6 months. And I think with that, I'll leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.
Thank you.